Hi, I'm Kate.
And I'm Lori. We've always thought that the most compelling story strikes the perfect balance between an honest look at the mess of life and the humor that can be found in the mess. To be perfectly honest, we don't really know how to live life without both the humor and the authenticity.
Our podcast might be a little bit of whiplash at times. We can spin from hard and deep to humor and laughing on a dime. The hard will be really hard, and the truths we share are the ugliest of humanity. We don't intend to make it seem like it's all fine or to pretty up the pain, but we also know that the joy we found is all the more profound because of the pain.
So we hope you can stick with us through the ugly, because there will also be joy and hope and humor. Welcome to The Ugly Truth About the Girl Next Door.
Hi, welcome back to our podcast, The Ugly Truth About the Girl Next Door. We are not going to introduce ourselves because that's getting very old.
We said we weren't going to do that anymore.
And then we started doing it again, though. We were like, we're not doing that. And then the next episode, we were like, I'm Kate. I'm Lori.
I think because it's so awkward. We don't know how to start.
That doesn't sound like us.
We always start so successfully.
So successfully.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're back. It's been a minute since we published. What, like a week and a half?
No. I don't think it's been that long.
Yes, it has.
I don't think so.
When did we...
Yes. I think we don't know.
We don't know.
Hi.
Feels like a minute since we were last published, but okay.
I think it's been a while since we recorded.
Also, I feel like every day feels like a while to me, so I don't know.
I can't imagine why.
I want to sleep for a decade. Anyone who can make that happen wins. Wins the prize.
Yes, please.
Okay. So today we are talking about... just things that we've heard since starting the podcast. We've been filled in on a lot of information and a lot of details, you know, since kind of going public with my story. And we felt like it was important to fill in our listeners,
because we've got
listeners on the things that we've learned, because it all goes together just in these really bizarre but also fitting ways.
So I think what you've noticed is that, you know, while for so long you struggled to put the pieces together because the way it was explained never really made sense. Mm-hmm. And now more and more pieces are coming together and it makes way more sense than it did before.
Yes, exactly. And I think that this episode is important because as we're getting all this information, it's making us even, you know, I know the story, obviously it's my story, but it's even making us go, oh my God, and oh my God, and oh my God. Right. And we want to be able to have,
we can't say,
gosh, I say that to my kids all the time. Gosh, we're saying gosh. Okay.
Now see,
I know. And now they won't be listening.
I should make you start over, but I won't.
You will not. Anyways. but we understand that people who are listening might be thinking to themselves like, oh my goodness,
better.
How can this happen? Like, how does this stay hidden? Like, how does this, like, they believe it and they're listening and we are thankful for that. But like, we want to fill you in on some of the things that we've been filled in on.
Because we keep having these aha kind of like, yes. Oh, that's how that goes together. It's not that we're discovering a truth that we didn't know before.
Right.
It's more like, oh, I see how those pieces fit now.
Exactly. So we call them kind of the peripheral puzzle pieces. It's like we have the main puzzle, the core of it. But then, you know, there's like the edges, the things that maybe we didn't know of the whole picture. Stuff that was going on outside of my awareness, A, because I was a kid, B, because it was being hidden from me. You know, stuff that was being, said when I wasn't even in the room or whatever, just that kind of information that we're just really kind of being flooded with that we're thankful for. Like, thank you so much for people that have reached out and for everyone who's reached out. All the support has been really, has been kind of puzzling to me because I didn't really expect that, but I'm really, really thankful for it. So, puzzle pieces.
Oh, wow. You had to.
Had to do it. Had to be said. Okay.
See, Kate, can you hear Kate playing with the rock over here?
Gosh.
There you go. Okay.
Okay. So what are some of those peripheral puzzle pieces? So we have heard from a lot of people, and some of the things that we've heard are people who remember specific conversations with my abusers where my abusers basically told them not to listen to anything that I say. But, you know, hearing other people tell me what the narrative was, that I knew what the narrative was, is mind-blowing because I knew that's what people thought. But to hear people say, oh, yeah, no, this person who was your abuser specifically told me that is just – it's – ugh, yeah.
And to hear the same words, the buzzwords being used over and over again, mm-hmm. dramatic, sensitive, attention-getting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. People have reached out saying that they remember being blocked from spending time with me. Adults that would have been, you know, adults in my world back then have said that they tried to reach out. They tried to ask if it would be okay if they took me for coffee or cooked me for ice cream or whatever. And it was like, no, a hard pass. Absolutely not. Again, why would you do that if you had nothing to hide? People remember and shared with me that I never looked okay. People keep talking about my eyes, that I looked sad. My eyes looked sad. I've always thought that my eyes are amazing.
Your eyes are amazing. They're just really beautiful.
Joking. Get out of here. Get out of here.
She's got great hair and great eyes, everyone.
Well, the hair we can attribute to Carissa. So hashtag Carissa. anyways. Mm-hmm. But yeah, people do remember me not looking very okay. Looking sad and distressed and... yeah, so that's that.
Someone actually specifically referenced showing up to Kate's house to drop something off, but was told not to knock on the door because they wouldn't be home, but that Kate would be home and that there was a strange car in the driveway that this person knew did not belong to anyone in the house.
Yeah.
And that was a very strange memory to have stuck.
Yeah, and I knew this person, so it would be odd for me to be home and for them to be told,
don't knock.
Right, like I knew this person. But same person was also blocked from spending time with me. So again, when you put it all together, it makes sense that that's what would have been said, right?
Right, because your abusers would not want that person to have an opportunity to talk
private,
to you
private one-on-one, right. Mm-hmm. People that I always thought of as being bad or like we don't like them, like that was kind of the like towing the company line, like those people are terrible, they've hurt us, you know, whatever. I'm finding out now that those people are actually the good guys. You know, yeah.
Yeah, so that we've heard like some confusing things about like people who now were identified as people that Kate's abusers hated. And those mm-hmm. people are like, wait, what? Like, why did they hate me? I never had any run-ins with them. Like, that's bizarre.
Well, and like, yeah. But then when you put it all together with like those people and their role in like the organization and in the church, it makes sense why my abusers would hate them. But yeah, and I'm finding out, like, I have all these preconceived, like, oh, I don't like, you know, we don't like those people because I shouldn't say that because these people are probably listening.
Well, it's more just like, I don't trust these people.
Yeah, because that's like always, it's again, it's towing the company line, right? Like, that's what was ingrained in me is like, we don't like those people. We don't trust these people. They're mean. They've hurt us. And then I find out that they're actually the ones listening and supporting. And I'm like incredibly thankful for that and blown away by that because, but then I'm also going, right, but all the narratives in my head. Not correct, you know.
Well, again, we talked about brainwashing, and this was part of the brainwashing was right. We don't trust these people, we stay away from these people.
Mm-hmm.
But that was because they didn't want you to
yeah
age.
I think right yeah right exactly yep I don't know, maybe you can elaborate on this. I'm not sure if I really want to say this or not, so I'm just gonna say it and then see what happens. But I think it's a little bit like an abusive situation where they teach kids to be afraid of the police.
Right.
Right.
Absolutely.
Like don't answer the door. Right. So I feel like that's kind of what I'm going at with this is that like those people who probably could have helped, like were told, it was told to me that these people were bad and awful. And I believe that. And I still until recently was like, oh yeah, I don't like them because that's just always been ingrained in me. Does that make sense?
Hopefully absolutely. Sense. From childhood. I mean, that's the power adults have over children is they don't have a frame of reference other than what adults give them.
Right. Right. We also have done some research and we've learned things about the business. So I don't know how much we've really talked.
Bright World Business.
Yeah. I don't know how much we've really talked about the inner workings of the Bright World Business and the Dark World Business, but essentially the trafficking element of what was happening to me was being funneled through
a legitimate
business. So there was a business in the Bright World, and then there was the trafficking business behind the Bright World Business, essentially. So the Bright World Business, it is a legitimate business, but kind of a front. Dark World Business also happening behind that. So, but we've learned that there was some shady stuff going on even in the Bright World Business. We've heard from people who have said, you know, I had issues. I had customer service issues. I had like actual issues with the product in the business that is public.
Right.
Am I saying that correctly?
Yeah.
So again,
unfortunately, we would hope that that wouldn't happen in any legitimate business, but we would especially not expect that when the person who owns this business claims to be this great upstanding Christian person who's always helping people.
Yeah.
But to, again, this makes sense in the context of now what we're talking about, that mm-hmm. there was this whole dark world thing, but the fact that this person also was shady in the Bright World Business.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And had all kinds of like financial background issues, like mm-hmm. debts that weren't paid and bankruptcy issues and all these kind of background things that, again, we would not expect from somebody who
had a legitimate upstanding business. Mm-hmm. Right. Right. And I think that that kind of goes back to some of the people that we were like, they're bad or they're not good people. But I don't even know where I was going. I lost my entire thought, gone like that.
That's because your silly watch thing on your wrist buzzed.
I know.
Whoever just texted
my father-in-law.
Oh, well, that's okay.
He's an important one.
Okay, we'll let him.
Yeah.
Okay.
But my thought is gone.
Okay, that's okay.
I know.
It'll come back. So when it comes back, you just jump in. Okay? Okay. So the issue is partly that the Bright World Business, though, like the weird thing was that it had the part of it that was actively, like you could be there and you could see that there was active business going on. But then there was this whole side of it mm-hmm. that was allegedly like a different branch of the business, if you will. But not much really happened there.
Yeah, no business was taking place. Well, there was business taking place there, but there was no business taking place there. No, actually.
There was dark world business.
There was dark world business taking place there. Yeah, it's a giant building. And there's places of the building that like no one has ever been unless you're part of the dark world. And I think that that's – I don't know what I think about that. I mean, I don't know what I think about that, but I'm not going to say what I think about that. I know. I know. I had a really long day yesterday. My brain is just like smoked. So
this is usually where you would say, let's start over. But
it is what I would say.
We're too far in.
We're 12 minutes in. We're not about to start this over.
Y'all are just going to have to tolerate us.
Okay. So the Bright World Business and the Dark World Business carried itself out throughout several of the other abusers. Keep in mind, again, there's a lot of people involved in this, a lot of different players. Do you think people can hear the shaking of the microphone as I'm like shaking over here?
I don't know, but it's happening.
Yeah.
They've certainly heard the rock drop several times.
Gosh. Okay. So one of those things is that another person who was involved in this, was supposedly advocating for women who,
this just makes me want to jump up and down.
I know.
Scream. I'm sorry.
So I just want to preface this whole thing with, there's like a phenomenon among serial killers. I'm not in like, you know, likening this to serial killers. Well, because I watched some true crime, you know,
because you don't have enough of this.
I actually do not really, because it makes me like have anxiety, yeah. Obviously. No, but there is this phenomenon that like serial killers and people who are sick and twisted in these ways, they kind of want to be up close, even publicly, kind of in their bright world, so to speak, with the crimes that they're committing. So a lot of times what I know and what I've read is that serial killers were actually like insert themselves into the police investigation, into their mm-hmm. own crimes, because they it's like a thrill for them. Okay.
So if you've ever watched like arson firefighter shows on TV, they often show the arsonist in the crowd.
Yes. Yeah. Which that's TV. And we've already said that this is not like TV, but it is like TV, you know.
That's enough.
There's some familiarity.
Well, what do we know? Like that's why we need other people helping us with these things. But this makes sense to us.
Where is Olivia Benson? Sorry, that was probably so loud.
You just scared the pants off of Silas.
Sorry, Silas.
Okay.
Okay. We are riding the struggle bus today.
I am really sorry, everyone. Here we go. Okay.
Okay. Anyways.
More and more, they're seeing the real us. I think they should be afraid.
Patrick tells me that like sometimes we're talking way too much about La Galera. And I'm like, okay, one time I talked about this amazing restaurant that I love. He's like, you guys are nuts. Okay. Anyways.
Like us or hate us. I don't know what to tell you. Here we are. Okay. Focus, Kate.
Okay, I'm trying. Okay. So this other person who was definitely involved in the abuse, she we'll talk about kind of the pattern here too, but she advocated or put herself in a position to be an advocate for women who had survived sexual abuse, which blows my mind. I mean, it does and it doesn't, but again, I think it's that same phenomenon of like wanting to be up close and personal to the crime that you committed, right?
And we are going to talk about the situation that allowed her to be in that role as well.
We absolutely are. So again, the dark world, bright world business, the company, just these are some of the weird things that we keep finding, these like paper trails and research that we've done and people that we've talked to. The company for the bright world is still in a business name that nobody knows. Like, it's not an actual business. It's literally a front business. The person who owns the business is not even listed as owning it. It's somebody else. It just makes no sense. There's just like a lot of holes in even the bright world business, not to mention the fact that there's also this dark world business happening simultaneously.
It's like, you know, that little shell game where you move things around so you never can see. It's just so weird.
It's exactly like that. Yeah. No, it's very bizarre.
But again,
and then
an upfront upstanding business would be straight up upfront upstanding.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So the business is also a generational business. So I would like to point that out as well, that it started with a generation, two generations above me, passed down to then the one generation above me, you know, so on and so forth. And the abuse passed with it. So the generational abuse, which maybe you would like to share about generational abuse from your clinical perspective.
Well, this is, I'm sure, not rocket science to anyone that often that is how that goes. That if there's abuse rampant in one generation, it often gets passed down. Now, please don't misunderstand. I am not suggesting that anyone who is sexually abused is destined to become an abuser.
No.
There are many, many choice moments along the way where people have opportunity to decide what they're going to do with whatever trauma they've experienced. And the decision to pass that pain on to the next generation, there's still accountability for that. But it is something that happens, that it is passed down from one generation to the next, especially in these kinds of ritualistic, like very involved circumstances. It's not uncommon for, it's a whole system rather than.
It's brainwashing versus what? I don't know. I'm not sure how to say that, but there's so much brainwashing that goes into it. So it was, in fact, that it was generational abuse. And I was aware that my abusers knew that another girl was abused by an older generation long before I was ever even born. And yet they didn't do anything to keep me away from him or from the people around him.
Which certainly goes together when we understand that, you know, they too were involved in abuse.
Exactly. Right. We also have heard people say to us, again, with doing the podcast, that my abusers would bring up kind of the public issue, which let me remind you that the public story is one guy for a very short period of time, did a couple things to me, sexually abused me, and then moved out of state. Book closed. They would bring up that public issue with people who were not really close to them and who weren't really asking. And it was kind of just like, I don't even know how to describe that, but it feels very much to me like it was like, I'm going to tell you about, it's like a timestamp. Like when people make a phone call from a certain location so that they can then be timestamped for later. Like, does that make sense?
I feel like we're talking about a lot of TV crime.
I know, we should really. I started watching that show with Renee Zellweger. What's it called?
I do not know.
Oh, something about Pam.
Oh.
It's weird.
Okay.
Anyway.
No.
I really actually can't watch. I started watching it and then was like, I don't want to. This is too much for me.
I don't think so.
I know. I just want to watch things like The Office and New Girl and Schitt's Creek. You have to watch Schitt's Creek.
I know. You keep saying that. But I know.
You got to watch Schitt's Creek.
Okay. It's on my list. Okay. So back to the public issue. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like this is also like, as your abusers wanted to get out ahead of the story.
Yes.
So that if somebody came along and said to this person, hey, blah, 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 this person can say, oh, no, I already know about that.
Yeah.
So-and-so told
That's
me.
That's a perfect way to put it, Lori.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right, though, that it was like they wanted the public story out there as much as possible, because again, it was like that open shut kind of thing. People would then not think past that because it was like they already knew the story. Right. So they didn't need to know more of the story.
Right.
And because I don't know if this is just my experience, you can enlighten me here, but it always felt like, well, she doesn't want to talk about it, so don't ask her about it. We'll tell you the story. We'll tell you what's going on, right? It's very private. It's very embarrassing for her. Like, does that happen? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Not really. I mean, sometimes. I mean, people understand, like, sexual abuse is something that is very private and people have a hard time talking about. But then why were your abusers talking about it
to everybody? People? Right, right. To everybody.
That makes no sense.
Exactly. Someone else had reached out. So these are all like separate people that have reached out. Can we just point that out too? Like, this is not like one person telling us these things. This is like so many people have kind of chimed in and been like, I remember this. I remember that. Honestly, it's been an incredibly overwhelming time period because it's like, I want to know because I need to know because the goal here is to make the threat stop and to raise awareness and to all the things, but also like, I want to sleep for a decade. So, anyway, someone who, was a friend of mine back then, had shared with me that when I was like 7 years old, she remembers that I was drawing, like sexualized pictures. And she was kind of like, she was the same age as me. And she was kind of like, where did you learn about that? Like, what even is that? And then my story was kind of just this weird crumpled story. But again, like what 7 year old is doing that, you know,
7 year old is doing that unless there's abuse.
Yeah. So, yeah. So that's kind of some of the peripheral details that, it's only some of them. Honestly, there's some that we really can't share and there's some that just are complicated to share, but.
Well, obviously let's just call it this. It is complicated to share this experience when we're not naming the people. So everybody out there is probably like, okay, wait, who's who and what's what, mm-hmm. and who are we talking about here? And we understand that.
We know.
It's just, we're doing the best we can.
Yeah.
Bear with us.
We're doing the best we can to keep everyone safe. Honestly, that's kind of where we're at. Yeah. But so still, though, the peripheral details kind of helps construct the whole puzzle. It makes it, I keep saying to Lori, make it make sense, you know, and some of these things either make a sick kind of sense or they make the puzzle bigger. But I'm just finding that so much of it fits way too perfectly and it's sickening and enlightening. And
so you have said to me many times, Kate, that you ping pong between like being encouraged is maybe the wrong word, but validated maybe as the puzzle pieces kind of come together and also horrified because there's a part of you that does not want this to be true.
Yeah, absolutely. Like part of me feels like it helps me like I'm not crazy. I'm not crazy. So much of the narrative back then and today is she's got mental health issues. She's got craziness going on. And I'm not crazy.
You are not crazy.
And then we see these things on paper, in black and white, in living color, people coming out of the woodwork, filling in details for us that you can't argue with. It's hard and fast evidence that you can't argue with. And it leaves me feeling, oh my God, I'm not crazy. Gosh, sorry. Gosh, oh gosh. Sorry.
And also sick to your stomach.
And also like, oh my goodness, like I'm not crazy. Like I don't want to be crazy, but maybe it'd be easier if I was crazy.
So you're laughing about that, but that's actually a conversation we've had.
No, it's definitely a conversation we've had. Like sometimes I wish I was just crazy because then you could just put me in a padded room and call it a day.
And you could nap.
Oh man, I could nap. Wouldn't that be amazing?
Silas would go with you.
Yeah.
He'll keep you company.
That would be awesome. Mm-hmm. And my new German Shepherd that I plan to get.
You are not getting another dog.
Don't say that. Patrick's going to be listening to this. He's going to be like, see, Lori agrees with me. We're not getting another dog.
Too late.
But we might be getting another dog because we might need a guard dog.
It could happen.
130-pound Mastiff. Nobody's going to mess with that dog.
Nope, that's right.
Except that Patrick's point is it will be a puppy. And so then they like, what good is that? And I'm like, yeah, but look at his face. His name is Stuart. And his tongue is hanging out. So.
And Stuart won't stay small for long.
Right. That's hello.
Okay, stop. Can't. This episode's going to be twice as long as it needs to be.
I know, because we're just like all over the place. Okay. So obviously we like have all these peripheral details from other people. We've also done some research ourselves into some of the financial aspects of this, because obviously, you know, there's a bright world business, there's a dark world business, they're happening simultaneously. I think, you know, we had talked about how the bright world business, when we kind of look further into it, is not really all that lucrative. Is that the right word?
Lucrative? Solvent, lucrative. Mm. Right. Both words work. There was debt that was not being paid.
Tons and tons of debt. Right.
But yet,
these same people, my abusers and people connected to them, are somehow living far, far above their means, even far above what they could or should be making in a normal job or a normal business, right? And buying things like brand new cars and, you know, completely remodeled houses and multiple properties, and then boats. Everybody's got a boat.
Not just one.
Multiple, yeah. My abusers, their first boat was given to them for free.
That doesn't usually happen.
Right? Normally people don't, you know. But that was also a thing, to be honest, that like when I look back, like a lot of things came into their lives that way. Like a favor for a favor, kind
Ew.
Of. I know. I know.
Ew.
Anyway, the boat was free. The boat actually started on fire at one point. Oh. It was kind of like a crazy happenstance.
Oh, happenstance.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
And then they bought another boat. Again, favor for a favor kind of situation, kind of backdoor deal. Paid way less for the boat than it was worth. And then the boat never left the dock. Literally, they paid for a slip at the marina, a really, really like quiet marina where people don't really go. And then the boat really never left the dock. I think I only been on it like once. Well, anyway, they also, my abusers, when we again looked into this further, we saw that they, own a portion, or they own the property for, like a skeevy hotel that's located directly next to the Bright World business. So there's that. There's also names of my abusers that are attached to two separate apartments in the apartment complex where I was abused and taken to have this time with people who are paying. Ew.
Ew.
They also have used my financials. We have records showing that they have credit cards in my name that I don't actually have. They've used my social security number for things. That's still happening. Yeah. So the financial piece has also been really enlightening. Again, it's kind of one of those things, like, not that I didn't know it, but like when you put it all together, it's like, ew, you know?
Ew.
Yeah. The other thing that we've put together, again, from hearing from people and also just from my memory and from just when we lay it out on paper, it's like, OMG, is the pattern of churches. So we talked about the trauma and faith episode about how the church played a role and how God was brought into it and things, bad things and abuse happened in the physical church building and just how difficult that is. But there's also this this pattern of them being kind of these like praised and put up on a pedestal type of people in churches. They climbed the ladder at churches, I guess is the best way to put it. And they do it from church to church to church. You know, it started in the church that, again, generationally speaking, that they grew up in, because it's generational. So you have two generations above me going to this church, then they, my abusers, going to this church. And then us going to this church, and that falls apart. And so they, whole group of people all involved in this terribleness, move to another church. They climb the ladder there. My abuser had the keys to the kingdom, had keys to the building. He was the guy that the alarm company called when the alarm went off. And guess what he was doing with the access to the building? I feel like I'm going to throw up, but
please don't.
I know, right?
You have my iPad right in front of you.
Wouldn't that's what I care about. That would be unfortunate.
You're like, can you not? Do you need a Zofran? Anyways.
Okay. Can I comment on that?
Yeah. Right?
Okay. So it's, I think, important for us to comment on the fact that the church that this stuff happened to you in has since changed leadership significantly. There are certainly plenty of people who are still there, but significantly there's been a change of leadership, and they have been so supportive and so affirming and come out strongly in being standing with Kate, in front of Kate if necessary.
Yeah.
So we just want to thank you guys for that so much.
100%. Yes. Yes, thank you. Honestly, I was shocked when Lori first told me that one of the leaders of that church had reached out to her. I was terrified, just because, again, that like kind of brainwashing and that ingrained feeling of like, that's bad, don't talk to them. And then to hear the support coming out of that church, I mean, just, yeah, unbelievable. And I'm so thankful for it. So, yeah, absolutely. This has nothing to do with, like, it's this group of people, this group of abusers who all kind of move and travel through life together and then pass it down generationally, right? It's not the specific churches that are a problem. It's these people that are a problem within the church.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Okay. And, you know, I interrupted you. I think maybe you were going to comment on the part about that. These people come into these church situations and they have skills.
Mm-hmm. They have useful skills that they are able to offer. Like, hey, I can remodel that room in the church. Hey, I can configure that thing for the whatever.
You just want to use that word configured, didn't you?
I did. It's a word. I'm kidding.
That's more than 5 foot letters.
I know.
I don't even wordle and I know that.
Maybe they're configuring grade 5 steel.
Anybody who jumped in the middle of the podcast has no idea what you're talking about right now.
So I can go back to the beginning.
Okay.
We keep telling people, go back to the beginning.
You have to start at the beginning.
You know how many people have talked to us and they're like, oh, I didn't listen from the beginning. Well, then that's the problem.
I think because like how I don't know how to Instagram, some people aren't understanding that they have to go all the way down. Scroll down, people, all the way down before you start listening.
The bottom is actually the beginning.
Yes.
Okay, so that makes sense. And I guess I can give them some grace there.
Yeah.
Truth and grace. I'm sorry, that was mean. Okay. Anyways, yes, they had skills to offer. And so they very quickly, very easily climbed the ladder at a church, the volunteer ladder. They were on the board. They were a trustee. They were a deacon. They were a board member. They were, you know, the top of the top, the right-hand person, because they had these charismatic qualities. They had these skills they could offer. And I mean, who doesn't want free car repairs? And who doesn't want them to, you know, remodel their house for free? And who doesn't want? So like, if you don't know the rest of that, if you don't know the backstory as to why they're doing that, yeah, it looks like, wow, that's a really great person. Thank you so much for doing that, right? So they easily, and they move, the pattern that I'm talking about here is they move from church to church to church to do this. And when we laid it all out, it was like, oh my goodness, like what, you know?
Yeah. Awful.
Yeah.
And that's part of the importance of this awareness, because we need people to understand that there are wolves in sheep's clothing among us. So absolutely. I've been listening to, so Diane Langberg is coming to the area. She is a PhD psychologist who has been very vocal in addressing the church on matters of clergy abuse and sexual abuse that goes unaddressed in a church context. And that's one of the things that she talks about, is that often in these contexts, we are thinking we have to watch out for the wolf. No, you have to watch out for the wolf in sheep's clothing, because the wolves, we're going to handle.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And that's what you're talking
about. That's exactly what I'm talking about here. Right.
That's why I'm saying that.
Okay. So again, I know we already said this, but all of these peripheral details coming forward, all these people giving us these tiny bits of information here and there and this memory and that memory that are outside of my own memory of all the things. It's just this massive puzzle that is now
click, 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 click.
Yes, exactly. That was good. Thank you. I liked that little, that was a good sound bite. I don't even know what a sound bite is. Anyways, but it also makes me feel like I'm not crazy. Like I'm not crazy. I knew I wasn't crazy, but now I know I'm not crazy.
I mean, lots of us can understand that feeling. If you've ever been gaslit,
yeah,
that feeling of, but wait, no, I'm pretty sure that it went this way, but you're telling me it went that way. And now I'm confused. Now I'm not sure.
Right.
Right. That's the feeling you're talking about, because you know what you experienced.
Exactly. Absolutely. Yes.
But concretely, yet, you can feel crazy when, but everybody thinks this.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Absolutely.
But if you have listened to any of like the Circle C issue and the Robbie Zacharias stuff and all kinds of things like that, there's plenty of it out there, then you understand that that is a very, very common phenomenon, that there are some people who are waving the flag saying, am I the only person who thinks this is a problem?
Right.
But there's an awful lot of silence.
Yep.
That can make the person waving the flag feel crazy.
Right. So I guess just to like round this out, one of the current day things that has happened that we actually have recorded, because we're crazy.
Or not.
I'm joking. is that all these threats have been coming to my house. And as a final kind of last ditch effort, I actually called one of my abusers who I haven't spoken to in a couple years now. And was crying and basically begged him to make the threats stop. The threats are so clearly coming from him and from them because of just the language being used in them and the details that only they would know. And some of the items that have been left at my house, only they could have. So it's so clear that it's coming from them. And so I reached out, I called him and basically was like, please, please, please make this stop. And the response was, let me back into your life and then I can help you. And like I said, we do have that conversation recorded. Mm-hmm. So again, just all of the evidence, all of the peripheral, all of the things that just scream, this is real. This is happening. This has happened. We're not crazy. I'm not crazy.
It becomes the kind of thing that any reasonable person would hear and see all of the pieces put together, and it's so obvious there's only one reasonable conclusion to come to.
Exactly. Yep.
But yet we're still having to do podcasts.
And yet we are still having to do podcasts, and we are still being met with people who say, I didn't know, or I don't know what to do. I am baffled. We will do an episode on this. Oh, I got to tell you the amount of people who tell me I didn't know what to do. People who are mandated reporters, people who 110% should have known what to do. Yikes.
There is a protocol. There are models in place to be followed.
Yep.
Okay.
So that's that. That wraps up that one. We will be back with...
We wanted to comment on, please share.
Oh, yes. We keep saying, please like our Instagram, which we would also love for you to do if you have an Instagram or you are an Instagram user. Some of us in the room are not.
Not much.
Ish. Just, yeah. Anyway, but you can also share. You can share the podcast, share it with your friends, share it on social media. You can literally, there's like a little thing in the podcast, like homepage that you can just click on to text it to people. You can text people the link. Share it. We want this information out there. Again, it's not retribution. It's not revenge. We're not naming names for a reason. It's awareness. We're trying desperately to make people aware because this SHIT is happening. And we really want people to be aware of it because there has to be a shift here. There has to be a change. So yes, please share it. So, all right, that's it. Thank you so much. Bye.
If you or someone you know is stuck in a trafficking situation and needs help, please reach out to the National Human Trafficking Hotline by calling 1-888-373-7888 or text HELP, H-E-L-P, to 233-733.